In his annual discourse to diplomats on Monday in the Vatican, Pope Francis had words for so many innocent people in Africa who have been forced to flee famine, violence, and oppression. In parts of Africa, he said, Christians are called to give witness to God's love and mercy. We must never cease to do good, even when it is difficult and demanding, and when we endure acts of intolerance, if not genuine persecution. One of the nations the Pope mentioned is South Sudan, where he said political instability has lately led to many deaths and a new humanitarian crisis. Bishop Barani Eduardo Hiboro Kusala of the Diocese of Tumbura Yambio in South Sudan says he is grateful for the Pope's words and for his prayers. He makes an impassioned plea for prayers as the violence in his nation continues to reap death and destruction and as the humanitarian situation becomes more and more critical. I spoke to Bishop Hiboro about his appeal to all people of goodwill to participate in whatever way they can to bring peace to South Sudan and relief to the tens of thousands of displaced people who are fleeing for their lives and are in desperate need of basic necessities like food, water, shelter, medicine. Many, he says, do not even have clothes on their backs, as violence came upon them unexpectedly, and they are hiding in the bushes in desperation.
The situation came upon us suddenly. We didn't expect that the country was going to go to war in the level and the scale in which it has gone now. And so we really know that South Sudan was a gift from God, because we had a long years of war and suffering, loss of life, close to 4.5 million people died in the second war, and many others uncounted for. And so with this war upon us now, and knowing that South Sudan is understood to be and believed to be a gift from God, we decided now in our diocese to have a 21 days intensive crusade prayer for peace, knowing that with peace with God, we are able to control, to get peace in the country. God can touch our hearts and God can influence all the people in the warring parties in order to bring peace in the country. And so the prayer includes fasting. We are going to have a fasting for 3 Fridays and denying ourselves some food, and we put that into money and material in order to bring it back to people who are displaced and who are in a bad situation. And so the prayer involves every aspect, and even at the same time trying to talk to people who can make a change to the situation in the country.
You say the nation needs to embrace its past in order to avoid repeated mistakes.
Yes, it's not always the best, you know, saying to forget the past. But I think the past should be able to inform us. There are things we might have done or unfinished programs and decisions that has come up again at this moment. And so while we, as we pray, we need to examine ourselves, examine our structure, and also knowing that as a new country, most likely we are not well equipped enough to stand up to those challenges. So that's why the war has come about, and we take it in this way, slightly positively, that yes, war has come, and maybe somewhere we didn't do well. And so it is a moment for us now to seize this situation as an opportunity to prevent any other war to come in the future. So that's our stand, in fact. Yeah.
You speak of a humanitarian situation that has been aggravated in 3 or 4 states. What is the humanitarian situation at the moment?
Linda, as I speak to you now, you know, the suffering of the people is outpouring. It is terrible. Women and children are exposed to a situation they didn't expect. As I speak to you, there are a lot of children in the forest, in the bushes, in a very difficult situation. Where I live, my diocese is a little bit far from the battlefield, but we are already receiving displaced people here. After the prayers on Sunday, when we were launching the 21 days of prayer for peace, we, the Christian community, had to contribute some money, all the offertory that they raised and some materials, and we carried it to those people. I physically went in to meet some of these people. I tell you, tears were coming in my eyes when I saw those babies. There were even pregnant women and women who are with babies and old people who are not able to run. And that's just a show of iceberg, because I know that there are thousands of this kind of people who are already suffering from the conflict. So I think all we are crying and praying for is to halt the hostility, to stop the war, and let people get to the table of discussion so that the corridors can be open to support these people in need who are actually in a desperate situation. And I worry that if this continues for the next 2-3 weeks, and I think we are going to have a very, very disastrous situation in the country.
Today, UN mediators are meeting representatives of the opposition forces. Do you have any hopes that this will make a difference?
Yes, we are aware that the negotiation, the UN and many partners are making efforts to meet these people who are in fighting, especially the opposition part and the government. And this peace talk has already taken days now, and they've been in Ethiopia now already almost a week. And we don't seem to be getting a good feedback from them. And I think they don't even see what's happening. And so we are saying that they should be able to stop the fighting so that we can support these people in need, and the political discussion has to go on. And we know from our own experience, the gun cannot bring about peace. And even the way I see this war, the guns are not going to solve this problem. Instead, it will aggravate the hate, the displacement, the destruction of human and material properties, and actually damage the growth of this country for a very long, long time.
In a document in which you set out 10 proposals for peace building in South Sudan, you have a special request for the media. Why is that?
I think the media is a very scant. We know that BBC and Al Jazeera is in the region, and we have radios, the FM radio, the Catholic radio network that is found in most of the dioceses. And we have the UN FM radio that's also providing information. But somehow, this is not very helping. I tell you a situation yesterday when I was meeting these displaced people, and I was told that they also fight among themselves, using their hands, not with a gun anymore. And the reason is simply that when they listen to the media, because they are mixed tribes, they listen to the media and hear, your village is burned, that village is burned, the people are killed. And they see the next to them is from another tribe, they just get on their throat and begin fighting them. And so the media, in a way, is not doing the best job also here, although somehow we would expect some important information to be exchanged for the safety of the people. And so I was appealing to the journalists to use the information they get in a very good way. Sometimes the way information is exaggerated, sometimes doesn't tell the truth, and also to do some more harm to the people. So we are concerned about even the use of media and also some of the politicians who use very bad language of hate, and that continues to put fire into the violence. And we are appealing to them, please, speak a language that can build a language of peace. And that's some of the elements that we, as a church, we continue to ask people concerned to change this.
You also ask the international community not to forget South Sudan and not to ignore what is happening there.
Yeah, in fact, the appeal to the international community, I am one of the, I think I've moved quite a lot talking to some members of the international communities. And I've been always telling them, look, the independence of South Sudan is something very easy. I mean, it is very easy to get independent. But the most difficult thing is the building of the people to become a nation, to feel that I'm a South Sudanese and I belong to this country. It's a long process. But I think somewhere on the way, some of the international community felt that South Sudanese have already got their independence. Things are okay. Let them move. Let them go on. And some scenarios were there. So I think it's time now for the international community. So much money has been invested to bring peace in South Sudan. And so it's a moment for them. We really need them to work together with them and also cautioning them to be attentive and to be sensitive to some of the issues within the country. And so the whole discussion towards peace needs their backing and their full presence to see that the peace is actually being felt before they have to move away, to see the process moving by helping the structure of the government. So the discussion should not, cannot be limited only at the two fighting forces. It requires a broad-based people from a bottom-up consultation for the permanent solution to the problem of South Sudan. And the only body that can do this very well is the international community, with the back, with the, of course, involvement of the local communities, and then the humanitarian support, which is pouring for the people here. We really need the help of the international community.
I understand the displaced people need everything, food, shelter, medicine, everything.
Quite right. That's quite true. Many of these people actually just got up and ran for their life, and they actually left everything. Those I went yesterday to see, they even, something for dressing is not there, for covering. The children are half naked. They have no clothes on. They leave alone food. They couldn't carry the food. So every one of these people is running for their life. And so that's why we as a people need to work on this. And I was appealing also yesterday to, there are about 5 or 6 states which are still somehow in a relative peace. And so we all need to mobilize whatever resources we have locally to provide for these people. At the same time, of course, the backing of the international community will be one of the best things we can do for these people now, hoping that we can halt this situation before rainy season comes, and because that would be too much.
I understand the Curia in your diocese is very active in organizing and coordinating assistance.
Yes, we actually, despite the fact that we have our Caritas network, and we decided as a diocese to set up a diocesan disaster management committee that is made up of different managers in our diocese and some lay people, with them to answer, to prepare the people, first of all, for the emergency, for the situation at hand. The population has not been prepared for this, to make them aware of the risks they can reduce by paying attention to several issues in the process, and also to mobilize the resources for the community, and also to make early warning program. Early warning would mean if we know sort of advance is being made by the army or by any position group, or anybody is some sort of becoming a danger for the community. So the early warning mechanism helps to inform the community of what's coming. And so this body, again, which we set up, the Diocesan Disaster Management Committee, also link up with the government, the international body, to raise some resources and carry to the areas that are very much in need. And at the same time, also organizing spiritual nourishment, because a war itself is a trauma, and we also need to be close to the displaced people, and especially like when you have these women who are pregnant, they don't know where their husbands are. There are those with small babies, they don't know where their husbands are. And some of the children are lost. Also setting up a base of tracing the relatives so that they can be able to recover them. So the diocese is very much active in this. And not only my diocese, all the diocese in the country and the churches are actually speeding up to work to help to find a solution to the problem.
Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yes, really, first, I want to thank you. I thank you for giving this chance to make an interview. And first of all, I also want to thank our Holy Father. We have constantly heard him praying for us and encouraging the Christian community, the Catholic community, the Christian community, and the men and women of goodwill to pray for South Sudan. We really very much need your prayers at this most difficult time, and hoping you will continue to stand by us. It's not the first time we have been in this situation, but our hope is still, we know beyond the tombs, beyond the tombs, beyond the cross, there is peace, there is life, and this is not the end of the road. God will change, will make a miracle, and this situation will change with your prayers and support. Thank you very much, and God bless you.